Sin has consequences. Whether it be our own sin or the sin of others, we all face the consequences of our sin. That was certainly true for King David. He experienced the reality that sin brings consequences, and life brings a wide array of problems and challenges. Through them all, we should be careful to seek the Lord and honor Him by pursuing righteousness and justice. This lesson is called Facing More Than One Giant.
When the prophet Nathan had confronted David years earlier about his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, he had prophesied, "The sword shall never depart from David's house," 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10. Although David repented and was forgiven, the consequences of those sins and many others, including polygamy, will continue staining his reign in Jerusalem with jealousy and intrigue, conflict, and even more bloodshed. See, God's word is not interested in polishing David's halo. It gives us the truth. God wants to remind us that sin can have devastating consequences, not only for us, but also for people who live around us. Well, now in our narrative, David has returned to Jerusalem as Israel's king. He has put down the rebellion of Absalom, but he now faces another uprising. The first verse of 2 Samuel chapter 20 tells us that a man named Sheba calls for the northern tribes of Israel to break away from the tribe of Judah. He says, "We have no portion in David, every man to his tents, O Israel." You see, Sheba wants to take advantage of the tension between the northern and southern tribes so that he can make a run for the palace and become king. And initially, he seems to have some success. Verse 2 tells us, "All the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba." Well, David responds by calling on his new commander, Amasa, to gather troops from Judah to deal with this rebellion. When Amasa fails to take care of the matter swiftly, David turns to Abishai, one of his officers. Verse 6 says, "And David said to Abishai, 'Now Sheba will do us more harm than Absalom. Pursue him, lest he get himself to fortified cities and escape from us.'" So with that, they set out after Sheba. Abishai is accompanied by his brother Joab. You remember, he's the former general, and they have a small army with them. Well, Joab, he hadn't been too happy about being demoted. He's a proven military leader, but he's also devious and cunning. Now, General Amasa joins this force as they make their way in pursuit of Sheba, and Joab sees his chance for revenge. We read here in verse 10, "Amasa did not observe the sword that was in Joab's hand, so Joab struck him with it in the stomach and spilled his entrails to the ground without striking a second blow, and he died." Now, earlier, Joab had murdered Commander Abner because he saw him as a threat to his position. And now he murders Amasa, the man David had promoted. But there are no apparent consequences, at least it seems, for his actions. In verse 23, we're told that Joab is back in command of all the army of Israel. Well, Sheba and his men take refuge in the city of Abel, north of the Sea of Galilee, and Joab's army lays siege to the city and begins to batter the city wall. A wise woman who lives in the city hollers down from the wall and asks Joab why they are attacking her city. When Joab explains that they'll leave if Sheba is given over to them, this woman promises here in verse 21, "His head shall be thrown to you over the wall." I don't know who this woman was, but she was evidently able to convince the city's leaders to do that very thing. And in verse 22, we're told that Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. And with that, now we arrive at chapter 21, where Israel is in the grip of a three-year famine. David discerns that there's a spiritual cause behind this famine. And we read here in verse 1, David sought the face of the Lord, and the Lord said, "There is blood guilt on Saul and on his house, because he put the Gibeonites to death." Now, it's not clear from Scripture when this event took place, but it violated the treaty that Joshua had made with the Gibeonites all the way back in Joshua chapter 9. Saul evidently didn't honor that treaty and evidently killed many of the Gibeonites. So here in verse 2, David asks the Gibeonites what can be done to make things right. And they're ready with a response, rather straightforward solution here in verse 6. "Let 7 of Saul's sons be given to us so that we may hang them before the Lord at Gibeah." David replies, "I will give them." Now, the word sons here simply means descendants of Saul. And you need to keep in mind there's no suggestion here that innocent men are handed over for the death penalty. We have every reason to believe that these 7 men had been personally involved in this unjust killing of the Gibeonites. The mention of rain now coming here in verse 10 indicates that the famine has ended because justice has been served. And only then are the bodies of these 7 men taken down. The mother of 2 of these men executed protected their bodies from animals day and night until they were taken down. And her actions actually moved David to retrieve the bones of Saul and Jonathan. And verse 14 tells us that David now gives them a proper burial in the tomb of Saul's father. Now, the rest of 2 Samuel chapter 21, as well as 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 4 to 8, the parallel account, it's going to record further conflicts with the Philistines. Each conflict, there's a single Israelite highlighted for his heroics. In each account, a single Israelite strikes down a Philistine giant. David takes part of the first battle, but verse 15 says, David grew weary. He's not the young giant killer he used to be. In fact, verses 16 and 17 tell us that one of the descendants of the giants tried to kill David, but Abishai came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Well, after this close call, David's men insist that he no longer go with them into battle, and they refer to him here as the Lamp of Israel, verse 17. And they're afraid the lamp is going to be extinguished. They don't want David to be killed. Now, in further conflicts we're given here with the Philistines, you have these Israelite warriors rising up to kill a number of giants. Sibekai kills a giant here in verse 18. Elhanan of Bethlehem kills another giant here in verse 19. And finally, as if to dramatically conclude all these giant slayings, we're told here in verse 20 that a giant who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot is killed by David's own nephew. What an interesting account. Let me make a few observations here. First, there was clearly an entire clan of giants among the Philistines, and they rose to become great warriors. In fact, verse 22 says, "These 4 were descended from the giants in Gath." Remember, among them was the giant Goliath, whom David had killed years earlier. Secondly, verse 22 tells us that these giants were killed by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. In other words, just as David had earlier killed Goliath, so these Israelite soldiers defeated the giants because of, in the same manner, the protection and faithfulness of God. Let me make one more observation here. Even though this text tells us that Israel experienced these victories as a nation, don't overlook the fact that individuals with faith and courage were uniquely instrumental in these victories. Let's not underestimate what God did, what God can do through one person putting his or her life on the line for the glory of God. This is an encouraging lesson for us today. Facing these giants isn't a one-time event. Goliath had relatives, and so do problems that face us today. They come in all sizes and shapes, and they usually come in groups. So, what do we do? Let's keep walking by faith, trusting the Lord, asking Him to empower us to face the new challenges of this day. no matter how big, how intimidating, no matter how great. Let's trust His wisdom and His word and rely on His power in our lives today. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Whatever it is you're facing today, and whatever caused it, just keep walking by faith. As Stephen just reminded you, keep trusting the Lord and ask Him to empower you to face the challenges of this day. Stephen called this lesson, Facing More Than One Giant. It's lesson 135 in our wisdom journey through God's Word. We're going to continue through 2 Samuel and all of the Bible in the days ahead. Come along with us on this wisdom journey.